today we're going to look at episode 2, which is The Outsider. And it's all about how Jesus accepts everyone. The door of faith is open to all people. There may be a challenge to change our behaviour or our allegiance, but Jesus longs to welcome everyone, especially those who feel that they are the outsider. We're going to be reading this Bible passage to begin with, and this is the one that we're going to be basing our series, our sermon today on. So it's from Mark chapter 2, and it's about the calling of Levi. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him, and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I wonder what was going through Levi's head and heart when Jesus called out his name. Have you ever been, or do you remember, where the cap fits? I mean, I might look around here and see which ones the cap fits too. But if you've ever been called as a kid, like to the principal's office, and you think, "Ooh, I must be in big trouble," because, you know, if it was anybody else, it might just be a teacher, or the teacher is on playground duty at the time when I did that. But you get called to the principal's office and you think, "Oh, I'm in really big trouble now." But because the big guy has asked me in. So I wonder what was going through Levi's head, because remember Levi, well, I don't know if you know, you're familiar with Levi, but he was a tax collector, and so he kind of was very much on the outer, because most people didn't like he was a tax collector. I can imagine him thinking, "Am I in trouble now with that religious guy?" Well, let's consider a little bit of information about Levi from Lynn Kohick and Michael Bird from Encounter Episode 2.
Essentially, being a tax man was getting a franchise. You're allowed to man this trading station, you're allowed to work in this market, or you're on this border between two regions, and you're expected to get X number of dollars or coins or whatever it is to meet your quota. But anything beyond that, you keep for yourself.
Levi was collecting tax on the fish that had been taken from the Sea of Galilee and was now set to be sold. So there's your profit gone. You know, you work all night fishing, trying to, you know, just make a living. And then there's Levi there at his little tax booth taking your profit.
This is the second week in our Encounter series. People Jesus met then and now. And today we're considering people's encounters with Jesus that showed that the outsider, the one who never would have thought that Jesus would notice them, was welcomed by him. And that regardless of what we've been told, Jesus still welcomes outsiders today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you that you welcome all people. You welcome those that think they're worthy, even though they're not, and those of us who know that we're truly not worthy. Open our hearts to hear the message that you have for us today. May it be clear. May you speak to the part of us that needs to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus notices you in a crowd. For basically all of human history, people have tried to scam other people. And in this digital age, it happens particularly regularly. You hear stories of people buying something online, only to find out that they're sent the tiny version. Maybe you've, you know, spent something on an antique set of drawers and thinking what a bargain it was, and when it comes, you know. Or maybe not quite the car of your dreams, but, you know. Perhaps you needed to, maybe that wasn't quite something you'd buy online, but still, in cases like some of these, you think you're getting one thing, but actually you get something quite different. something that doesn't match what you thought. And in many ways, the modern world is like this. We're sold the dream that because of our technology, we should be more connected than ever. And in some ways, we are. And yet it turns out that in general, our population, as we all know, is lonelier than ever. The World Health Organization has declared loneliness to be presenting a global health threat. We've heard this before. The US Surgeon General says that its mortality effects are equivalent to 15 cigarettes a day. I'm not quite sure how they work that out, but statistics. Yet even in a crowd, in the weirdness of this overly connected world, Jesus notices you and me. We're just going to read a bit of that passage again. We're looking at, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. This is the beginning of what we were just reading. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Jesus, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax, saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. With all the noise, with all the crowds that were following Jesus, after a time when he's been busy healing people and people have been crowding in around him, Jesus notices this one person, Levi. Sometimes the world seems like a big crowd of people, a very big crowd, and in this crowd it's very noisy and we can feel really overlooked. And so sometimes it's really good to get back to grassroots and remember who's loving us and how he's loving us. Probably the most well-known passage in Scripture is John 3:16, which I really don't need to put up there because I'm sure you all know that already. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But sometimes the world seems so big that we forget that it's me as an individual that God loved and gave his Son for. So if we change the word world to, for God so loved Melissa, for God so loved Cheryl, for God so loved Greg sitting up the back, that he gave his one and only Son for me, for each one of you. How amazing is that? It's probably something we don't think about too much, but it's not that he gave it for everybody. He actually gave it for me. If you've ever thought Jesus doesn't care about me or doesn't look my way, Jesus notices others but not me. This passage speaks to you. It speaks against those thoughts. Jesus noted a hated by others, not by him, tax collector, an outsider in Levi. So imagine for a moment that Jesus is walking through a crowd you're in, and then picture him stopping and looking intently at you. Not with the angry eyes of someone who's going to condemn you, but with the intent eyes of someone who sees just you, who cares. Jesus not only recognizes you, but he eats with all sorts of people. Have you ever cooked pancakes? Sure, most people have. If you're a poppy here, it's almost a thing you have to do. You pour the batter in and then you wait. And at just the right time, as the bubbles are coming up to the top, you flip the pancake. And here in this encounter, Jesus is flipping more than 1,000 years of history. And 1,000 years of understanding on its head, because for all that time, God's people, the Jews, had primarily believed that when you touch something unclean, it made you unclean. And that also meant when you touched unclean people, that made you unclean as well. So if you associate with unclean people, it cut you off from God and being able to worship in the temple. But what we read here is that Jesus was here with a whole bunch of tax collectors and sinners, a whole bunch of them. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were there, eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And it isn't the first time, because they've seen him do this before. Not only was he with them, but he ate with them. not only was he, I mean, you kind of, I wonder, I'm interested when I go down the main street and they have, especially in summer, and they have that at the outside the Royal, they have those windows that open and people that hang out and have the, you might have like go in there, have a drink or whatever. And I wonder if you look in there sometimes, I always look because I go, well, who's in there? Anybody I know? Sometimes. And then I think, oh, if I know somebody in there, I wonder who they're sitting with. And then I think, oh, are they the right sort of people they should be sitting with? Do we wonder sometimes if we're with people whether other people are noticing who we're with? And if we do, does that make a difference to where we go and what places we frequent? If it seems scandalous that people are eating and drinking with the wrong sort of people now, in our time, it was just hugely scandalous in Jesus' time because of the laws that they were used to having and having to adhere to. So let's just see another clip. This is the clips that I'm showing today are from the video that you'll be watching in your Connect group, the number two. So let's have a little look at this next one.
One of the amazing parts of Levi's story is that he gets a meal with Jesus. Sitting with someone at a meal at this time meant that you were in fellowship with them. It was a show of hospitality. But Jesus is to be this prophet from God that is stating God's law. And so people looked at, why Jesus, are you eating with Levi? Are you condoning his tax collecting job, which is basically stealing from the poor?
So here's the point. Jesus chooses to invite and eat, with all that eating signifies, with a bunch of people who were outsiders, outside the religious system. They were looked down on by society in general, and who effectively felt that God was outside of their reach. Elsewhere, we hear Jesus speaking about a banquet, and in it he says, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Now, this is not saying that only the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame could come, but saying that everyone was invited. Even those who were considered the lowest of the low, the outsiders are welcomed in. Now, as part of our encounter series, our encounters means meeting with someone. And we're looking at lots of people in the Bible who met with Jesus in his time, but we're also looking at people from modern times who've met with Jesus and the difference he's made to their lives and the difference a testimony can make. So we're also going to be having a lot of testimonies during this time. We start at the beginning of the year and we're continuing on. And I just want to look at what testimonies are. So let's have a look here. First of all, I'm going to say what a testimony isn't. A testimony isn't saying the person giving it is perfect. A testimony isn't just about the good times, but also about the presence of Jesus in difficult times in our lives. And it isn't that everything in the moment, in every moment, has worked out exactly how we would have liked. So we think that people who come and give testimonies, maybe some of you think people that give testimonies have it all together and we only hear all the good stuff. But actually, we need to hear some other things, everyday life. So if you want to come and give your testimony, let me know, because I'd love some more people to come and do this too. But today, very graciously, Alex has offered to come and share his testimony with us. So Alex, tell us about a time when you really felt God's presence in your life.
So this going my own way and coming up with my own solutions and too many of my own decisions based on what the world was telling me to do, sort of worked for a bit, but ultimately end up in a place where I was just probably, I describe it as being crushed by guilt and shame. And the presence I felt was that God sent so many people, I probably lost count, to give me this one message, and I'll read it out for you. It was a Bible verse. So many people gave me this exact same Bible verse, It's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own, on your own understanding. I was leaning on my own understanding big time. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I've really only just started doing that not long ago. And he will make your path straight. So I was choosing my path. I was leaning on my own understanding. I was doing everything opposite to that. And so many people were telling me that exact verse. They were saying, read this. And I guess, well, I know now, that's my verse. What made me really grow in this was, I'll come back to when the older churches, they talked about God, the Lord, Christ. They talked about, they didn't talk so much about having a relationship. My first exposure to that I took any notice of was with David Ware and his Bible study. Every week he would talk about a relationship with Jesus. And I didn't really know what he's on about. But I learned from that. Like that stuck. It really stuck as it was the last piece in the puzzle, having a relationship with Jesus. And I kind of had that relationship, but it was if you do this for me, I'll do that. I'd hear this call. I go, oh, not yet. I haven't got what I want out of life, And I'm still learning how to have a relationship with Jesus, I'll be honest.
We all are, yeah. Alex. We all are.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. Bless you. Wow. We're all on the journey, aren't we? We're all still learning. I'm going to show you a clip of a testimony from the Encounter series for this week.
As I said earlier, I've been a part of and I'd seen a lot of evil in the world, and so to believe that was really, really hard. But I kind of called him out, and I was like, God, now's your chance. Like, if there was ever a time, it's now. But you got to do something. I was like, say something, move something, like anything. He did. I heard my name. And then he said, I love you. Wow. And I just broke.
Yeah.
And it was like, kind of, in a sense, the first time I'd really heard that and like fully believed it. Like there was a weightiness in what was said that I'd never heard before. And I really believed it.
Wow. How did that change you?
It changed everything.
Jesus calls all sorts of people to follow him, but they have one thing in common. The GPS navigation in cars has made some parts of our travel much easier. In years gone by, one person would be driving the other one. Remember the days when you had your map out? Hopefully you had someone showing you what was on the map rather than trying to drive and look at it at the same time. So it's certainly GPS has made that easier. But remember, you'd say, tell me when to turn. They go, oh, turn. Well, this happened. Maybe this only happened in our car. Anyway, I'd say, turn left, and David would go to turn left. No, the other left. And I meant right. But, it does get a bit confusing. And then the worst of worst would be when we had to stop and ask for directions, because, especially you guys, you don't like to stop and ask for directions. And if you did stop and ask for directions, you might strike it lucky and someone might say, well, I'm just about to drive there in my car. Why don't you follow me? And so that's kind of what this is all about. Jesus comes along and he says, never mind about all those other ways to get there, follow me. Let's have a look at this part of the scripture that we've been looking at. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. On hearing this, a little bit later on, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous, but the sinners." He calls people to follow him. He simply says to Levi, "Follow me." He didn't give him a whole list of descriptions. He just said, "Trust, follow me." And this is really freeing for Levi, because Levi knew that nobody liked him. But here it's really freeing for him, because Jesus is saying, "Follow me. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to have your life together. You don't even have to be a good person. All you have to do is follow me, and then learn from me and grow from how I'm showing you to be." Levi, like the rest of us, will be called to more align his thoughts and actions as we follow Jesus. We're the same. We're called to change, and it's constant. And as soon as we think we're nearly there in our relationship with God, you realise the closer you get, the more you have to get there. It's huge. For example, we see in the... I'm just going to read you a little passage here from Luke, about Zacchaeus when he gets called. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector again, and he was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a little guy, what did he do? Climbed the tree. And when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to the house to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what and who was lost." Jesus wants us to follow him, although we are unqualified to do that at the start. Levi didn't have to know it all. He didn't have to have his life together, and he didn't have to be a good person, and neither do we. I just want to praise God for his amazing grace and mercy. He's just amazing. Levi's encounter with Jesus is such good news for all of us. Firstly, the outsider's welcomed in. Secondly, Levi becomes Matthew. So now I had to look this up because I didn't know this. I'm thinking they're talking about Levi the tax collector, but then there's a Matthew, a tax collector. Well, Levi in Mark... this story is told of Levi, the tax collector, getting called by Jesus, and he comes along. But actually, in Matthew and Luke, it's the same story, but it's Matthew, the tax collector. So it's the same story, two different names, probably Greek and Hebrew. But actually, he is the Matthew that wrote the first-hand gospel of Matthew that we read about, Matthew. So this guy Levi, the wretched sinner, as it were, who said yes when Jesus asked him to follow him, was the guy who wrote the gospel. He becomes someone that has been used by so many of us now, and yet he started out the way he did. But what was the key? When Jesus said, "Follow me," are we following Jesus? Are we following him not just in that first, "Yes, I accept you into my life, Jesus," but are we following him in all the things that we do? Are we continuing our journey to follow him? I pray we are. And let me just pray now instead of just saying it. Lord, we do thank you for calling us and saying, "Follow you." Lord, as we accept, we ask that you lead us to become more like you and into the people that you can see we are, even if we can't see it in ourselves. Lord, I thank you for each one here and for those that will hear this message. Lord, may they be welcomed. We know they're welcomed by you. May they accept that welcome. May they accept that you are the only one who can save us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.